Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is another episode of Missing Pages of History, where we come together to fill in the missing pages as it relates to the history of the underserved communities. We'd like to fill these pages so the book will be a complete, actual, and factual history book where humanity can use it as a means to make a better humanity in the future. We've been having some series of discussions around the issue of our youth and the criminal justice system, how they are born from the cradle and seem to be going through a pipeline where they end up being incarcerated. We talk about some statistical basis where there seems to be an organized attempt to structure our kids to end up in these criminal justice institutions. And we are talking about the issue of why. But we have not really discussed the issue of how can we avoid this from happening in the future to our youth. We would like to have an audience call in today in a little while at 818-337-0016 to discuss solutions from the cradle to the pipeline. How do we keep our youth from being captured in these criminal justice systems? And with us, we have Brother Emmanuel, who will be giving us an analysis of how we can view this issue and come up with some solutions. Brother Emmanuel, we welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Welcome.
Thank you.
Brother Emmanuel, I think you have given our audience a lot of information and background concerning figures, numbers, incentive for why they want to keep our youth in jail, because they can earn up to $95,000 a year to keep them in, versus private industry earning $65 billion, where they can go to university and be educated to a point where they can become productive citizens for less than $20,000. So you have given us motives of who may stand to benefit. You have told us how many of the private industries or prisons is owned by judges, magistrates, policemen, etc. But along with this story, we need to address as a community, how do we deal? How do we stop this pipeline? How do we get rid of this pipeline? So I would like for you to articulate to our audience some of your views and ideas on how can we stop this. But before you do that, Emmanuel, I would like to ask you one thing that we didn't talk about, I think we need to talk about, as it relates to the solution to our problem. And that is, what are the conditions that make people or put people in position where they become or act out where they'll be incarcerated? What are the conditions where we can change to make that so we wouldn't have to have people respond in this kind of fashion? Can you speak to that question?
Well, first of all, we can eradicate, we can minimize our youth going to prison. And my thing is, well, what brings this about? Unemployment, broken homes. It's all about the family. Parenthood is very important. And when you have a mother trying to raise kids or a father trying to raise kids, you got to go to work. So these kids are basically, they're unsafe to a certain point. And the vulnerability is there for them to be persuaded to have some friends that are not, shouldn't be their friends, you might say. Or pick and choose their friends. The parents aren't there to do that. They go to school, get put in another environment, and there's peer pressure. All this is involved, but you got to watch your child. Our motto is we have to watch our child. If you know all these things out there, obstacles are out there. And I say again, this is an extension from slavery. You have to deal with this. Being captured, being chained, this is what this is. So again, you can't eradicate it because it's one of the largest businesses out there for making money, of course. And the federal government, of course, pays these people that own these enterprises. And the prison system creates a lot of jobs. So you got to have this. I mean, look at the jobs the criminal justice system creates. So you have to look at that. And they got to keep feeding it. And who are they feeding it with? When you're totally disproportionate of being what's fed to the system, when you're more than 44% into this You hear 13% of the population. Well, some is wrong. We have to rectify that. So today we'll come with some, what's some of your solutions to minimize this? Because they're not going to stop it. You can't stop it. You can minimize it. You can't eradicate it because this is, again, this is part of the system. And they build in jails. If they keep building, I mean, they're not going to stop it. If you keep building enterprises and improving prisons, making prisons larger, and giving them longer sentences for things. So it's amazing that some of the solutions you guys come up with today, seek to implement this through different organizations. So fast.
Go ahead, Brother Emmanuel. I didn't cut you off. Go ahead.
Yes, I hope I asked you a question there, but again, we have to come up with concrete solutions. And I gave you a few. I talked about the parents. They're going to have to do a better job. I understand two parents have to work mostly in an African-American home, Hispanic homes. I understand that. To make a wage, you know, to make any kind of wage, because they're not going to pay anything. If they know they're not going to pay you much money for working, they leave your child out because you got to work maybe 10, 12 hours. You got to work Saturday and Sunday when the most time when they get in trouble on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But again, you have to be, parental guidance is very important. It's very important. Parents have to be involved, especially their father with their boys and young ladies with the girls. And, of course, you got to cross that. And your grandma can't raise your child. Your aunts can't raise your child. Somebody, that is your child. So take responsibility when you have a child and get pregnant and have a child. You have to be responsible. Understand that. And the parents have to, you have to listen to your parents and make sure that you get good parental guidance. And like I say again, and get good village guidance. That's coming from the neighbors, the next door neighbors, everybody else. And again, who you hanging with. When someone, you should hang with that person, then don't hang with them. They know. So all I'm trying to say to everybody out there, especially teenagers, and kids who are up in the sixth grade and up is when they start looking at you for this type of thing. And alternative schools are sometimes good solutions too. But make sure you get an education. Try to go to college, please, to get a good job. So all these things are very important. Unemployment leads to criminal behavior because, again, you need money. If the parents don't have to spare money, you're going to do something. And they can't wait for you to do anything. So that's what they're waiting on. They monitor your neighborhood. 80% of the police in your neighborhoods. They're not in the white neighborhood. They're in your neighborhood. And they therefore
what percentage? You said 80%?
80% in your neighborhood. Where I live, I don't see a police officer. I don't see a police sometime in a month or two. My neighborhood is 93%, you know, 3% European, too. I don't even see them. And we got guards, you know, that drive around, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I don't see nobody. So when I go into town, as I go down Capitol Boulevard, every time I look, I see a police car. In certain zip codes, you see police cars like you never saw them before. I go to zip codes just so you don't get a visual, so when I know what I'm talking about, they're facts. I'm looking at them. They're there 80% of the time. You can't drive three blocks where you see a police car. It's amazing.
Well, you know, that's a slogan or a saying in the African community that criminals are not born, they are created. When a child comes into this world, they don't be born.
Their job to create a criminal. That's their job. And they got different ways of doing it, by planting stuff in your cars, planting stuff in your pockets. They do all these things to make sure they create you. Once you get that little tag on you, that little picture getting a lineup, you're going to be familiar with the police, with the criminal justice system. And they'll make use that you don't even want to do. Even if you hang, you become an accessory. If three or four guys are together and three guys turn their back the other way and one guy do something, all four you involved. This is how they do us. I call it string-along crimes. You go see, you know, my father back in the day, so when you... I know a friend of mine, he liked to steal, but he stole a baseball glove. I closed my eyes when I know he took that glove. When they asked me, I had my eyes closed. My father told me, had your eyes closed. I had my eyes closed. I didn't see him. But this is the kind of stuff that they do. And like I say, you subject yourself when you go to a department store, they follow you around the store. You should know all the things they do. everything that they do. And we got to school our kids on this stuff they do. Keep them out of harm's way. We got to do that. Again, that's a lot of money in this business. A lot of money. Lawyers, how lawyers survive. Because you got court-appointed attorneys to get paid. That's how prosecutors are most deal. This is what this is all about. The sheriff department, this is what this is all about. They make all the money. Because they're the sheriff. They're the top dogs in the police department. They make all the money. Police make money. Nobody fool you. The top dogs make money. So don't go that way. People talk that crazy stuff about unemployment, this and that. People ain't making money. The top dogs make money. And look who at the top. Look who are the lieutenants and the captains and the chief of police. Look who they are on this country. We got 8% black police officers in this country. 8%. That should tell you something.
Okay, we're going to like to alert our callers. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what are some of your solutions to stopping this pipeline when you deal with our youth being incarcerated. You can call in at 818-337-0016. We have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome our caller to Missing Pages of History. Caller number 8488. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment on the subject. Hello.
Hello. Peace. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
This is Mikhail from Philadelphia, and I just wanted to make an additional comment. If we go back to 1970s, we remember the Nixon Watergate tapes, and he made a specific comment which most people haven't heard. He began to talk about the condition of the black family at that point in time. And I imagine that he's not speaking to all black families, primarily to black families in the so-called inner city. And the problem he mentioned was that the black family was already, and this is maybe 1972, already destroyed. And in a society like this, it's that the nuclear family may be one of the better options to be successful in this particular kind of society. But as you go into the inner city, you find a lot of single moms, a lack of jobs, and it actually becomes almost mandatory for a certain portion of that population to become involved with criminal activity in order to buy food, clothing, and shelter. In the old days, when you got out of prison, you were given $50, a suitcase, and a suit, and you were set up with different jobs. But from what I understand nowadays, you get out of prison, they give you a couple tokens, and they may let you out in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. So how do we actually repair our black families? Is there a way to do that, or can we advocate for that?
This is June, also from Philadelphia. In terms of solutions, I'm thinking beyond the nuclear family, the black family, to take that a step beyond that, to go into the schools. They can teach, I think, practical courses, everyday living. If it starts in elementary school where you have a teacher that's maybe a kind of a social studies, in the social studies lesson, they're told what it is to be a criminal, how it will affect your life, and what you can do to avoid it and not get caught up before you get in the sixth grade, into heading to that pipeline. So I think that is a solution. The other thing is, I think possibly a solution is to begin to look at the laws of the land. Some of them are just written so that if a black child would do anything, almost if they sneeze, they'll be ready to incarcerate them. If they redefine the laws and make it so that we're not going to criminalize this individual for, let's say, carrying a marijuana cigarette or something like that, we're going to really take hold of him, put him back in the school, and again, retrain him in terms of that's not the way to go if you want a successful life.
Okay. Again, to our viewers, feel free to call in. We'd like to have your viewers comment. We have two callers who's on line 8488. I'd like to just raise a question with both of you in terms of understanding that when they decide to do future planning or designing or building prisons, it's my understanding they look at the IQ or the reading ability of a kid on the based upon them being in the fifth grade. It's really the fifth grade level. They use a kid ID or reading capacity or lack of as a pretext or as a means to project what type of prisons and how many prisons they will have to build. Because it's been identified that if an individual cannot read and write, then this is an indication that they're more likely to be involved in some kind of criminal activity for whatever reason, for survival, et cetera. What is it about the schools today that has not been able to or will not be willing to find a solution of just making sure the kids can basically read and write by the time they get to the fifth grade? Why are they falling behind so early? What can we do to address that question? To address that question, I think some of the solutions you have raised, it will help ensure that it will be less likely that the African youth will not be caught up in this pipeline. Because it's clear that a lot of youth, once they get to the fifth grade, for some reason or another, begin to fall off. So I'd just like to have you to respond to that. And then we also have Mr. Jordan come back in and give his response to some of the things that has been mentioned. Caller?
Well, okay, I guess you're addressing folks here, Billy?
Yes, addressing the issue around your take on what is about the school not being able to teach our kids how to read and write up to the fifth grade, because it's at the fifth grade that's the critical part where they help track the kids to start going through the pipelines on their inability to read and write. Why are we not finding ways to make sure the education system is held more accountable?
Well, I think there are two things happening. First of all, you have a lot of children who are coming into the school system who haven't had any real preparation for school. There's no early training in the home where the children have to learn the alphabet, count. The parents may not even really speak to the children more than to tell them to do this or that. So the children come, a lot of these children come to school already behind. Let's say for a middle-class family, a person may have a lot of books. Parents may have an education. They may be led into discussions about various things. So by the time they come into school, they're already up and running. And then my sister's actually a school teacher in the state of New York, and I'm sure she's speaking for school systems all around. The system's not really designed for those children. The budget cuts and the way things are set up, it'll assist children who have a good foundation. But the kids who don't see themselves in those school books and don't see a future, they get that impression very early. And it would seem to me that you'd have to take things outside of the school system, at least at this point, to begin to make a direct impact. The schools have been failing for quite some time now, and I don't see how something that bureaucratic can address the needs of our children on a day-to-day or a local level. It's just not designed to do that.
Okay, I'll go back to our guest, Emmanuel. Based on some of the things you have just heard, discussing the issue of how can we avoid our youth from entering into the pipelines, give me your take on some of the things that's just recently been raised in this discussion.
Well, first of all, you have to attack the root cause. The root cause start with basically Planned Parenthood. You plan to have a child, plan to be a parent. That's why they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood, because it involves a lot of black children in all the 50 states where they get money to make sure that they get nutritional food, they get books, they get certain things. They would do a lot of computer science classes. I went to a class. They had for eighth graders, or that was not eighth graders, I'm sorry, 8 years old. And they could do web pages. This is just charter school. They could do web pages. They could do emails. And they just, they basically around about 7 years old, doing computer math, science, doing the things they need to do. We used to buy kids toys around that particular arena that they're going to study when they get into K5, K6, K7. The second thing, again, is we got to follow our children. It's school. My parents took us to school. They walked us to school because we knew what it was all about. It was all about reformatory, police patrolling our neighborhood, because you're not making no money. You're doing menial task jobs, rather. All they want your parents to do is drink. They just drink and do what they want to do, because they were high school dropouts too, because they had to work. So you go back to my daughter. She's superintendent of special education, Fairfax, Virginia, and also remedial reading. This is where they prime the kids right here. This is where you need a tutor, you need this or that. College campuses have tutorships. We need to get involved in those. But again, it's all start with the parents. It all starts with the parents. You got to get it from the initial pipeline. How did we get in this particular thing? Like anything else. People, some people go to the grocery store, they take a list. Some just take what's on the shelf, what's up front. We shop different. We got to get more disciplined with our children. Don't let your children talk back to you. That's number one. Mine is never. Things you got to get good behavior habits out there from the beginning. And grandma and aunts, whatever, then I can't raise your children. You can't have two mamas. But the big thing is that you got to follow your kid to school and see what's going on. Get interested in your child. That's the only solution we have at the moment. Because they're building these, they're waiting on us. If we're 44% in the prison system and giving us 7 years more time for the same crime as a European or a white, that is definitely trouble with the judges, because the judges own these places. The retired chief of police, they own these places. Not a conflict of interest, no kind of way. So these are the things that's going on that we have to stop. We can't eradicate it, but we can definitely minimize it. And we got to go and visit the court system and see how they feed our kids. Let's go and take a look at it. How the judges sentence our children. Then get involved with the responsible organizations to make sure that they take a lean on the ACLU, just get involved with different organizations, National Network of Al Sharpton with the NAACP. Organizations have some national power. We can't do it with small groups. We got to get involved with national power. So my thing I've put on my agenda is to go to 3 NAACP meetings this summer if I can get there. I'm going to try to go to 3 of them. That's on my agenda because I can become a platform there. I'm going to speak like I speak to everybody else, because they're not attacking it right either. They attack it from the top. You can't attack anything from the top. They know where you're coming. Understand one thing. There are 26 think tanks that study Black America. 26. You ever wonder what they study? I know what they study. How many people know that? They study us like crazy, because we're the profit margin of America. If we don't spend no money, they broke. You think it's hard times now? If we don't spend no money, that's what keeps them alive is us. We don't want to keep them alive. We keep the economy going. Look at that word in the economy called CON, called con. Look at the word CON in Congress, con again. Look at these con words. These are code words, and we don't understand them. I understand what I meant. I went to the university to make sure I did understand them. So understand that we are in a predicament that we basically can't get out of. Not unless we do the root cause of everything that's going on and stand up. You got to stand up. If you don't stand up, you can forget it. Because, again, they take our money every which way. Every which way is possible. I rode around the other day and looked at the gas prices. Gas prices in the poor neighborhoods are much higher than neighborhoods who is affluent and who can buy it. So this is what they did. They give us watered-down gas. But again, I repeat myself again, that we got to have support groups, and the number one person is the parents and the family. You got to watch your grandchild. You have to watch your child when they become a teenager. Help him read. You got to help him read. Get someone to help him, a cousin, a first cousin. Get somebody. Get him out of those special education classes, remedial classes. And where you get these, where they pick them from, they pick them from Medicaid. They pick them from the assistance program. That's where these kids come. That's where they get them from. They know they're going to jail. They already got them going to jail for it. Again, when they're about 11, 12, 13 years old.
Let me raise a question to you, Emmanuel, and our guest who is still on the phone line, 8488. that comes from the community. And we got less than 5 minutes. We'd like to share with our audience that if you do not hear the entirety of this program, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistoryinc and go to the archives and view the various shows that we do on a bi-weekly basis on Saturday at 12 noon. If you'd like to contact the organization, to find out more about the organization, you can email them at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com and you can contact them at 804-519-0357. We're going to talk briefly a little before we leave off the airways, what Missing Pages of History has planned in terms of trying to help our youth or our youth up to date. But in terms of this question, many people feel like that the so-called African or black leadership and black middle class has forsaken their role of being more of a positive role model to responding to this issue. Where are y'all on that position? The lack of the responsibility coming from the black establishment, political figures, and upper middle class sector of the black community. To my friends on 8488, give me maybe a response by a minute or so, and I'd like to have our guest response to that. Caller, 8488.
Yes, in terms of the middle class, what have they given us?
Or why there seems to be a lack of response from them in dealing with
a lack of response from them?
Yes.
That's because I guess I'm thinking in terms of doing what they think that they should have done or is doing for their family, that's the position they have taken. They have done for self, and then they don't worry about anybody else. But I say that maybe it's time for us to awaken them and say that it's not enough to just do for yourself and your family. We need to look beyond that if we're going to try to keep all of our kids from going into the prison system.
Yeah, this is Mikhail.
Okay, Emmanuel, go to Mikhail quick for 30 seconds, then we'll give Emmanuel a response. Go ahead.
I think what the problem has been is that as we become, in the 60s, we were stuck together. You couldn't really move out into the European neighborhoods. And as we've gotten better incomes and better things, we've moved out of the hood, even though that's some of the most valuable real estate, and moved into suburbs and so forth. So the connection has been lost. People don't want to deal with those cousins that are doing bad or go to jail all the time. So it's just a matter of not being connected like we used to. It's not intentional in all cases, but we're just not connected and not forced into the same joint situation as we used to be.
Okay, in closing on this thought, we can have Emmanuel to speak to that and also address Emmanuel. What is this space of history trying to do in order to help this problem? Emmanuel.
Well, we talk about leadership. Well, everybody has to become a leader. It's like the Bible, everybody is a minister. Well, we have to become leaders in our own community. We have to become leaders to our family. So you don't put the responsibility on someone else, but they got a family too. You don't see that type of leadership in a European neighborhood because everybody's a leader. Everybody's what they put. It's a capitalist society. We have to understand capitalism, and we don't understand it yet. That's our problem. We don't understand. They have brainwashed us that we don't support each other. The families are broken because they broke the families up doing slavery. It's just an extension. All they need to do is extension of what slavery was. And you saw, again, the affirmative actions, what affirmatives are, they got all the affirmatives. So when people are able to speak to these issues when they come up, we're not able to speak to them. They talk about welfare. Well, we're not on welfare. Only where to get that from? Our parents worked, they kept their children while they worked, and we kept their children as maids and servants and chauffeurs and landscapers. All we did to make sure the houses were kept a certain way, and they had all the opportunities. They owned everything. So when you own everything, and of course you own the media too, there's no place for us to go, basically. And they're supposed to report negative news on us 90% of the time. Well, we got to transcend that. MPH had to reverse that. Let's do 90% negative news on white folk, of Europeans. So we got to plant a seed too, that we all bad. They got us like we just a bunch of gorillas, whatever we are. We got to go back and turn that leaf. Missing Page is going to turn that leaf. We got to do the same thing they've been doing. They are takers. They took the Indian land. They took the oil. Everything, they done took it. They took Africa. They're the takers. When they say, we're the takers, we don't say nothing back. Well, I got plenty to say back. You are the takers. So we're afraid to say that. That's our problem. We talk around the bush all the time. We never get to exactly what the problems are. They know that what they are. They're laughing at us. They laugh at us because we never get to the root cause. We just surface the issue. That's all we do. We're not talking about ownership. We're talking about just going and participating. We're not talking about owning certain things. We're just going to participate. That's all. We don't go to the school board meetings. That's why the schools are like they are. They're like they are because we don't go. They're going to build schools with bars because that's where the inner city kids are. See, it's amazing that 90% of African Americans, they only live in 10 cities in this country. Almost 90%. The rest of them just scattered. That's where we live. Over 90%. So the cities that are having a rough time are the ones that we don't support like we should. We should rally just like the Tea Party rallied and call it a coffee party. Let's get a coffee party going. See? But we don't do stuff like it. We're scared to rock the boat. So when you rock the boat, there's repercussions. So who cares? Repercussions of slavery, 375 years. So we got to do the same thing now. And this is the best time to do it is right now because of the digital age, because of technology. We can do all kinds of things. But we got to have the big meetings, everything that our big churches say, church, you got to get involved too. Because that's where we mass at. That's the only place that we go. But again, we got to participate in the system. But again, we got to add value to the system by having knowledge. You got to have knowledge of the capitalist system and how it works. The blueprint is already made. We've got to follow the blueprint. Why should we give our money, $920 billion a year, to people that don't even like us? And we recycle $50 billion out of $970 billion. We're almost at a trillion. And that counted money. We're over a trillion, but we're talking about money that we can count. Easter come. Why we buy Easter clothes? Don't go there. Break some of the people that broke you by not participating. Have a backyard barbecue instead of going to, a restaurant spends $50-$60. So we don't do stuff like that. That's why we're not together. Invite family members over. I like integration. I love it. Long as even keel. Again, you have a parity conversation. And watch those code words. We got code words too. So we put the code words on them. So it's the same thing. And talk about exactly what's going on.
Okay, Emmanuel.
Yes,
sir. I'd like to stop you. Like to thank you for being a guest on the series of dealing with From the Cradle to the Pipeline while our youth are being incarcerated. We'd like to thank all of our guests from all the series that they have participated in terms of dealing with this critical issue discussion. For those who are interested in joining and working with Mr. Page's History to help develop our communities, because it is a nonprofit organization, it's a community development organization, is here to use communications as a means to develop our communities. We encourage you to write us at Missing Page of History 1 at Yahoo, or you can call us at 804-519-0357 and ask the question, how can we help build this institution so we can make a contribution to our communities and to humanity? Until on the 27th, our next program will be April 27th, 12 noon, same time, same station. We'd like to encourage you to join in and share this information with other people to let them know that Missing Pages of History is in the house. It is filling the missing pages, and we want you to come and help us. Until next time, let's help be a missing pages of history. We thank you for coming to your homes this evening.